Hi, this is Carla King with the Misadventuring Podcast, and I'm sitting here in the studio in Point Richmond, California, with Dee Brent Miller of Sojourn Chronicles. He has just made a journey on the Pony Express Trail to Sacramento, all the way from, somewhere back there in the Midwest.
St. Joseph, Missouri.
Thank you, Brent. And I want to welcome him because this is the first time we've met in person, and it's been a joy.
Yes.
So Brent's project is called Sojourn Chronicles, and I've referenced it a lot in my blogs and tweets because he's always got such wonderful information on rural life, travel writing. He's also a very wonderful photographer and has advised me very wisely on my choice of podcasting equipment and my new camera. So we're just going to talk about, Brent, your trip, what you're doing, and how you have arranged to have such a wonderful misadventurous lifestyle.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I am so happy to be here and to meet you face to face because we've done some projects together online and over the telephone, and it's just great to visit with people that you do business with or talk with frequently. The Pony Express Trail kind of had an opportunity laid in my lap about 3 or 4 weeks ago to participate with a film crew who was going to do a story on the Pony Express Trail, and I said I'd like to tag along for a couple days and write about them making a film, which I did.
A behind-the-scenes kind of project.
Kind of a behind-the-scenes thing. And then I departed from their company and proceeded on my own for the remainder of the Pony Express Trail, arriving in Sacramento in a total of about, it was 7 days. 7 days on the Pony Express Trail.
Over hill and dale and deserts and mountains.
Wind and rain and hail. Yeah.
Just like the Pony Express guys.
Yeah, just like the Pony Express guys. We, on the other side in Nebraska and Kansas, we actually rode some of the back roads, the gravel roads and the dirt roads that was the actual route of the Pony Express Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And, the roads have changed over the years and county commissioners have improved roads and moved roads and straightened roads, and so it's kind of difficult to follow exactly the Pony Express Trail.
Now, you were telling me a little bit about one sand desert experience that you had. You want to talk about that a little bit? You were trying to follow the trail exactly.
At Fort Laramie.
And let me just interrupt you because your mode of transportation was not a horse, not a car, not a Jeep, but
A motorcycle. A Suzuki V-Strom DL650,
yeah.
Which I've been trying to get you to test one.
And yes, I will. And you put some dirt-worthy tires on it, and it did pretty well in gravel and off-road.
Yeah, it did pretty good in the gravel and the dirt roads. It's I had a little experience on some soft sand, and it just concerned me quite a bit, so I kind of turned around and headed back to the asphalt to take the highway around that one spot. Mm-hmm. There's in the heat and out there in the middle of nowhere, there's no reason to fight the motorcycle if it doesn't want to go through sand. So
I agree.
Be safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to be safe than
stuck in sand.
Laying out there in the middle of the desert waiting for somebody to come along to go, "You need help."
And the places you were going, I mean, the United States, you realize what a big country we have, and there isn't a lot of traffic on these roads.
Yeah. I do want to mention that the first couple of days that I was with the film crew, a fantastic bunch of people. There is 10 folk, 7 guys and 3 ladies, and two of them are riding motorcycles, and the rest of the 8 are videographers and still photographers and journalists and support crew in 2 vehicles. And this is the group from DuQuoin University in Pittsburgh. Last year they made a film. I reviewed it, stayed in touch with the guys. And this year they said, "Do you want to tag along?" And I thought, that's just too good to pass up. So I rode with them for a couple of days.
Well, that's because you have such a wonderful reputation as a journalist, I think, documenting these roads and rural ways of life. I do want to talk about how you got into documenting rural life, and
sure.
you you were first in radio, is that right? Not always writing articles?
Well, I did, in grad school years ago, I did some public radio as a grad student. So it wasn't like it was a full-time job, but I loved doing radio. But radio is one of those things that you either love it or hate it, and I loved it, and you'll do it for practically peanuts, which I couldn't afford to do.
Yeah.
But that was just a period of time in my life that was just really a lot of fun. And so, as you know, we've done a little bit of podcasting together, and I've done interviews and do a little audio work on Sojourn Chronicles, talking with writers and photographers and filmmakers and travelers about their adventures. And it's just a lot of fun to listen to people talk about the things that they're passionate about.
It is, and you get to meet a lot of your heroes. And I'd like to know who have been some of those heroes and inspirations for you and your career.
Well, there's this woman traveler who wrote this book. What was it called? American Around America? No. Oh, American Borders.
Yeah,
American
Borders
by Carla King.
Don't you stop. You just stop.
I interviewed Ted Simon, and mm-hmm. that was just a joy to talk with Ted about his books and his most recent one. The films I've reviewed a number of independently made films about motorcycling, adventure motorcycling. That's just been fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have a background in small towns and rural life. For 10 years or so, I was doing a lot of writing about rural mm-hmm. economic development, the things that are going on out there, and I just continued on to do things that are kind of interesting about what's going on in small towns.
So, well, one of your heroes might be, for instance, William Least Heat Moon from Blue Highways fame. That
okay.
book,
yeah.
I don't know. Do you
Blue
have any
Highways.
Role models? What is
role models? Boy, that's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to think about that one for a minute or two. Travel books, travel essays. I love that genre. That is my favorite genre of book to read. So I've got, I think I've got all of William Least Heat Moon's books, including his latest one, The Roads to Quaz.
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
Quaz is, I'd have to go back, and I can't remember the exact detail of what a quaz is, but it's all these really odd things that he finds out on the highway. And he's writing this book, traveling with his wife, who is doing research on a book. And so they're finding all this odd stuff, and it's kind of, it's really interesting, but it's quite different for him, for his writing.
Hmm. Well, I know, I think we talked about Studs Terkel when he died. I sent you that link in The Economist for his obituary. He was a wonderful role model.
I think if there was a role model, Studs Terkel would be it. I just love the way he writes. I love the way he draws people in to reveal their place in life. He's just an excellent interviewer. And of course, The interesting thing about Studs Terkel, who's no longer with us, is that all this was done on radio, and it was translated to books. I've got, I don't know, four or five of his books, and a couple of them are autographed. Yeah, I met him once. He was speaking in a little college in Michigan, and I lived pretty close and went and saw him and got a couple of autographs. It's pretty nice.
Well, you've really managed to merge your storytelling into multimedia format in photographs, words, audio, and also sometimes video. How has that been for you? You kind of geek out
really,
a little bit.
Not really video.
Oh, slideshows.
Slideshows, mm-hmm. yeah. Slide
you know,
shows.
It's so interesting. It moved so much for me. It felt like video. Mm-hmm. A good slideshow yeah. feels like that.
I use a couple of products. I use Adobe Audition to edit my audio. I use Photoshop and Lightroom for the photography. And there's a little program called Slideshow Plus. It's a really nice little program. It's, a lot of journalists use it. If you're looking at a slideshow on a newspaper website and there's audio with it, it was probably done with Slideshow. It's just a really good little product. And I think it runs about $100. And what it does is it adds audio to your slideshow and produces it in a flash program, and because it's in flash, it's very low memory, and it just, you can run it full screen on a computer. So you put it up on the website and put a link to it, and it's pretty fascinating multimedia presentation.
And this is all put on your blog sl/ website, which is all done with customized WordPress.
I use WordPress
blog software.
Yeah. I'm a WordPress junkie.
That's right. Did
you see the little W on the back of my motorcycle? I got a little WordPress sticker.
It's not
on the
for
back
Wisconsin.
No, no. You either know what it is or you'll ask, what's that W stand for? WordPress.
And there's something called WordCamp every year, and you often participate in that.
Yeah, I taught a session at the most recent WordCamp in WordCamp Columbus, and that was fun. I want to do a lot more of that. As you know, I'm a former professor of journalism and photojournalism, and it's, I miss teaching, so every opportunity I get to teach, I like to do that. It's great to help people find their way and find the things that they're passionate about and help them do it better.
Yeah, and that's what I love about journalism, is that you can pass on your knowledge and you're all forever researching. I think your area of interest is probably target history. Would that be right?
I love to write about historical travel. The number one reason people travel in the United States is to see history. And I think that's fascinating. So as I've ridden the Pony Express Trail, I mean, I'm not going to repeat all the history along the Pony Express Trail, but mine is going to be a travel story about following the Pony Express Trail to kind of help travelers where to go, where to stop. Here's this, here's that. Not that, you know, Sarah Jane wrote this letter on this date, and this is Emma Lou's grave, and over here the Indians attacked, and...
Leave that to the tour guides.
There's plenty of history out there, and so mine will be a travel piece about following the Pony Express Trail. Last year, I did a piece on traveling the route of the longest raid of the Civil War, which was a raid conducted by General John Hunt Morgan, a Confederate general who led 3,000 cavalrymen from about the Tennessee-Kentucky state line, through Kentucky, into Indiana, up into Ohio, around Cincinnati, over towards West Virginia, and then north, trying to escape 3,000 Union cavalry chasing him.
Mm.
Longest raid of the Civil War, 1,000 miles on horses in 24 days. It's just a phenomenal story. And it happened when there was this little skirmish taking place at Gettysburg. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
So, you know, John Hunt Morgan's little raid was kind of, it wasn't lost to history, but it was kind of put aside because it happened at the same time Gettysburg was taking place.
Wow. Interesting. So you must have a lot of stories like this, and they're on your blog, the SojournChronicles.com blog.
Some
are you
of
collecting them,
yeah.
them
yeah,
into an anthology,
them.
Perhaps?
Well, yeah, why am I doing it? I don't know. Certainly there's in the back of my mind is the possibility of putting together a product, a book, or maybe reprints of articles on the website that people could buy. Products or materials that are different, completely different than just the entries for what I've been doing on my travels, like the Pony Express.
Yeah, and you had told me that most of the material about Pony Express was written for juveniles,
yeah,
teenagers,
I started doing my research looking for books that were already published about the Pony Express Trail. About 3/4 of them were written for juveniles.
That's crazy because it's so interesting to adults. I'm
yeah.
surprised that there haven't been more historical novels and books written about it.
Yeah. Well, there are. The interesting thing about the Pony Express Trail is that next year, 2010, is the 150th anniversary of the Pony Express. And there are already commissions established, and they're working on the commemoration of the 150th of the Pony Express, and there's going to be events all across the trail commemorating the Pony Express, which lasted for 19 months and was basically a commercial failure. But yet there's this legendary, you know, this legend about the Pony Express, the riders, and what a magnificent group of people they were. But it was a commercial failure. Cost too much to operate, and then it got done in by this little technology called the telegraph.
Mm-hmm. I see.
When the telegraph was all the way across the country, there was no longer any need for the Pony Express. So history was stopped, well, right there in 1861 in October.
So that's going to be a celebration coming up next year,
right?
Next October. Okay, well, we'll hope to see something from you by then.
There'll be something out for me before then.
Good.
Yes. For people who, I mean, I was in Carson City on the way over here, and I'm talking to a couple of guys. They were riding their bikes. They were from the Bay Area, I think. And we're talking, and I told them I was riding a Pony Express trail, and they looked at each other, and they asked me a couple of questions, and I said, well, next year's the 150th anniversary, and they go, let's do that next year. Let's ride the Pony Express trail. That's great.
That would be a great automobile or motorcycle tour.
Either way.
Hey, automobile, people will bicycle it too. You know they will.
Well, hey, there'll be people who will want to ride it on horses.
On horses.
On horses.
Uh-huh.
So,
and
yeah,
what
that'll
do
be fun.
Horses and motorcycles have in common?
It's the rider.
It's the bonding. You know, my sister had horses, but I never really bonded with a horse. I more bonded with the motorcycle. But you had a horse, and
I had
and
several
so
horses,
you had yeah. very, very, yeah. very similar experiences.
I had a horse, sold it, bought a motorcycle, sold the motorcycle, bought a horse, traded that horse on another horse, sold that horse, bought another motorcycle. Horses and motorcycles.
But never two at the same time?
Never at the same time.
Too much to get your
head
around?
No, I think just when I got back from the Army in 1971, which kind of dates me now, I came back, I bought a new motorcycle, I never owned another horse. But I've always loved being around horses. You know, whenever I'd go to the county fair and I'd be photographing rural life, I always end up at the horse barn photographing horses, always.
Well, Brent, do you have any advice for people who want to break into audio journalism, multimedia, blogging, this kind of stuff that you do? I mean, how do you start a career and set yourself up to do what you do?
Well, having a little experience in journalism certainly helps a lot, because it gives you the basic for gathering information and reporting. And that's pretty critical if you're going to do something along the lines that you ask.
Would you recommend that young people go to school and get a degree in journalism, or they learn it after they're majoring in their area of interest?
I had, when I was teaching journalism, I'd have students that wanted to, they'd want to take all the journalism classes that they could and nothing else. And I said to them, no, that's not a good idea, because you could be the best word technician in the world, but if you don't know anything about what you're writing about, you've got nowhere to go. So I'd tell them, take your history classes, take your business classes, take your sociology classes and psychology classes, learn about life and learn how to write about those things. And that works pretty good. As far as the podcasting goes, there's a couple of places. Public radio is doing an excellent job of trying to educate new talent for radio stories. And there's two websites that are very beneficial for everybody. And one is transom.org, TRANSOM.org. They are really into reviewing equipment and helping people learn how to do radio. The other one is PRX.org. That's Public Radio Exchange is short, PRX.org, where you can listen to things that people have put together, stories, and get critiqued, and learn about doing radio stories for both online and for radio. And then there's a few other sites out there, but those two main ones are the two that I always direct people to. And then, of course, if you learn how to use WordPress and run your own website, or you can, there's a number of websites that you can get for free. WordPress.com is a free web hosting site. It's a great place to get started and learn how to use WordPress or how to publish a website. Blogger, you know, from Google is a pretty good one. They're both very popular. TypePad is another one out there, but I think I read recently that TypePad is actually losing users. They're moving over to WordPress.
WordPress is the open source
number one software to
but I blog. Find the interface at this point difficult. Typepad's very, very easy.
Because you're used to it.
But I know you've tweaked yours. You've got beautiful photos on it. And I know I'm working with a technologist who's integrating WordPress blog software into his website offering.
Yeah.
And also slideshow stuff. Now, where do you learn about photography? I mean, did you learn photography in a classroom or just going out there and
doing it? I've always been a student of photography. I have played with photography for a long, long time. And there are so many really good photographers out there that never took a class in photography. But I will say that taking a class in photography, even if it's adult continuing education class, gives you some very good basics to build upon. I happened to take some photography classes when I went back to grad school, and that was invaluable to me. I learned things that I had never thought about before. There's always a way to learn without spending a lot of money. There's always books, but it's great to in photography. I think finding a mentor who will help you with the things that you need to know to produce great photography is a real asset.
That's good practical information. So now that you're doing this, what kind of support system do you have around you? Do you belong to organizations and your personal life? I mean, how do you keep the energy up?
First of all, I have the best wife anybody could ever ask for. I'm a lucky boy. And she'd go, "You're a lucky boy, all right." I belong to the National Press Photographers Association. It's a photojournalism-based organization for both still photography and video photography. And the two are merging in today's technology.
Digital technology or video?
Video.
Video photography.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, the news camera guys that work for the TV stations.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all part of the same organization. And I belong to Society of Professional Journalists, which is all-inclusive of print and radio and broadcast. But I think it's probably heavier in print, you know, in newspapers and magazines. A lot of valuable information from the trade organizations can come through.
And then you take all this and you teach workshops as well.
Trying to do that, yeah. Trying to put together a variety of workshops, not only about improving writing and your photography, but a combination of the two, and then also how to publish that information.
Well, that's valuable. I think self-publishing all kinds of media, multimedia, and print is where it's at. So you're on the cutting edge, and I've been a beneficiary of being your friend and getting some good advice there. This has been D. Brent Miller, SojournChronicles.com. Thank you so much, Brent, for being here and talking with us and inspiring everyone to have a more adventurous lifestyle.
This has been fantastic, and I'll see you out on the highway.